Yeah, we're really in our graduation weeks, so this is all fresh and also still under construction, actually, even though it's only the one very last week of studying. But yeah, I really enjoyed correlations in 2015, and I actually also want to thank the organizers for that again, because it has been, yeah, it was this introduction into this new topic of text mining and statistics and computational linguistics and natural language processing that was really exciting. And so I sticked with it, and I also sticked with the software program that we got introduced to there. And it turned into my into a project called I Could Have Written That, which is actually a quote from Josef Weizenbaum that he used in his introduction for his tool ELISA, in which he says that, well, I don't have the quote down here, but that machines work in this wondrous way, but at the moment that we unpack them and look at all their elements, then a person could say, I could have written that. And it puts it from the shelf of intelligence, from an intelligent system to a system that is something to discuss about with the other curious people. And I like this quote so much it became my work title, and it made it until the end, until the final title. And it started to really work again when I was transforming my 1 year of research, because my project in the end is very much a research project, so also this presentation is quite research-based. But my final format is a workshop, so I will do a workshop on the 26th of June in the exhibition, and until that time the workshop setting will be there and can be visited. So this is a little map that I'm actually still working with for that. And I will show you also my little maquettes that I make on the computer. I will fill the room full with posters on which I will come back later. And yeah. So my main interest has been two truth systems that are working and actually constructing text mining results. I was really enjoying looking into Pattern, which is a Python library, so it enables me to, because I learned a little bit of Python on the Pietzwart, to read the text and read the code. But I was also really interested to see how the vocabulary and the culture around text mining actually also constructs the way in which these results become meaningful. And especially the two metaphors of mining and rawness, I focused on during the year. Because it is quite intriguing to see how these software companies present their work as the power to know, the absolute truth, with an accuracy that rivals and surpasses humans. Side note, this is actually the spin-off of the people from Pattern called TextGain, the latest API in text mining. Easily and automatically to deliver meaningful information with unbeatable accuracy. So also all the elements that you see will also be part of the work setting. That's why they are designed, so to say. And as this software, as this technology is then used to, for example, for automated essay scoring, where it is presented as, well, this is such an objective system and it doesn't get tired. As he looks so tired. it's also used to detect psychological profiles in text, such as depression, but also agreeability, neuroticism. It's used for job vacancy platforms, where then it's presented that it's such a much more natural way of looking at a match. So the text of your CV is then scanned and brought into a relationship with the job seeker. I don't know exactly how, but actually it's interesting because Ruben works at such a company, and it's quite interesting to receive sometimes a bit of information from him out of that diagrams and new ideas about text mining applications. But it's also used, and that is quite a big, this comes up quite often, as by intelligence services to detect terrorism. And then on this software company website, it's presented that the events of September 11 has made it clear that the United States needs better means to handle the vast amounts of unstructured data that contain critical information necessary to defend our homeland. So there's a quite, it's not really new, but it's the high, strong belief and high expectations. But as these systems come as APIs or as libraries that can be used directly, it's quite telling how they are containing a pre-trained truth, and you can't really open them up and see how they are trained and see how they're based, where they are based on. And the backbone of my research project has been around the flipping of seeing text mining as a reading machine, or how can I present it as a writing machine? So to really clearly focus on the human element, on the selective, on the biases, and these things. And to introduce this, I want to just quickly show you this little video. It can be that people already saw it during the last relearn, but I think it's good to show it again.
Now let's start with something that's relatively clear and see if it makes sense. See the words that are most typical, most discriminative, most predictive of being female. Yeah, it's a little bit embarrassing, I'm sorry. If I didn't make this up, it's very cliche, but these are the words.
Yeah. So these are the words. And actually, there are happening a lot of things in this 30 seconds, 26 even. And I will now show you the two steps of the workshop that actually can relate to parts of this video quite nicely. So, yeah, the guy walks around, the audience starts to laugh about the results that they already see on the screen. He, of course, it's a TEDx event, so it's quite a theoretical occasion, but the presenter already walks to the right, really, like, clearly sighs, and says, well, yeah, I know, it's very cliché, but these are the words. But by saying these are the words, here the metaphor of raw data comes in. So basically what he says, well, these words that you see in these word clouds, this is it. You can directly see the data. You don't have any mediating layer in between it. We have direct access here. So he implies that raw data is something that is pure and that can be used from its source and can be just displayed in this word cloud and directly be perceived by others. So basically he says, well, this data, it speaks, and I use the word cloud to let it speak to others. But actually, it's not the case in many ways, but one way is when you, well, data always comes through the categories. But this sounds really broad, but if a text is analyzed, it's always brought through the categories, like emotion is divided up in 7 categories here. I looked at, also very much together with Anne, to one of the scripts in Pattern that is written to detect modality. And modality is this linguistic phenomenon that it's very, like, modality is a word that contains a lot of things, but it's used to detect a certainty of a text. And it's actually explained here in the definition. What's the definition? It's here. How truthful is what is being said. So the degree of commitment of the speaker to the thing that he says, he or she says. But if you look at, so this is a rule-based script, it's not using any pattern recognition, but it's a really clear example to see how the categories are strictly divided and the words are chosen by the developer. And it has some particular examples. So super certain is are sentences that contain fact, truth, and power. And super uncertain are sentences that contain fantasy, fiction, lie, myth, and nonsense. Belief is not really certain, and data is quite certain, which creates this funny, self-confirming loop. And proof is their theory example. So I was thinking about the way how I can use the strictness of these categories and try to write with them again. So I will read you this little series that goes from very certain to uncertain. Text mining is power, of course. It has definitely proven to absolutely always verify truth. Text mining is doubtless, and will most likely show that data is really, certainly, and necessarily proof. 0.5. Text mining is mostly a theory, and generally our promising example of believing performance-oriented processes. Plus 0.25. Text mining is, however, probably an expectation, and I bet that my hypothesis appears to most people as potentially viable. 0. Neutral. Text mining is sometimes a guess or a feeling, as it can imagine whether a question is regarded as opinion. Minus 25. Text mining is a perception, which is doubtful and uncertain. It may have been inadequate belief or customer-centric speculation. Minus 0.5. Text mining is misleading. Text mining is aid in misleading debate and seems unlikely to dispute doubt. Minus 0.75. Text mining is a popular belief, hardly unthinkable as controversy. Minus 1, very uncertain. Text mining is impossibly ridiculous. Text mining is an impossibly ridiculous myth, absurd fiction, nonsense, and a lie. And this is quite recently, actually last night, that I decided to use the script again to generate the colors. And that's why, because I actually was meant to mention minus 0.75 here, but now the script is speaking back to me. So it detects that actually popular belief as a phrase is minus 0.75, but belief is minus 0.5, so it's less, it's a bit more certain. So I need to still see how I am. It becomes playful that I really am now start to have a conversation with the script again. So as a first step in the workshop, I would like to propose that we are going to try to write a very neutral sentence, and we're going to try to play with the numbers and look at the codes, see how they're attached to the values. And so this is a little first attempt. It's still quite certain, but the power to know the absolute truth would be absurd. Comes already quite close to neutral. And then in the second part, we refer back to this, to the other sentence that this presenter of the TEDx talk said. It's this moment that he says, well, yeah, these results, they're a little bit embarrassing. I'm sorry. So he already excuses for what you see. But, you know, I didn't make this up. Which basically he says, well, the results that are here, it's not me that came up with it, it's the data. The data speaks, but it's also it also implies that it's only the technique that was needed to grab the data from its source and this, make this beautiful word cloud. So he implies that, again, the data is raw and it's something that is given instead of something that is maybe taken. Which also refers back to the etymology of the word data, which comes back from the word datum, that means to give, and also in Dutch it's gegeven, so it's something that is given. But then Johanna Drucker actually came with a really interesting proposal to, instead of the word data, to use the word capta. Because he argues that it's important to see data as observations and interpreted expressions done by an observer to maintain a clear difference between the observation and the phenomena that is being observed. So I really enjoyed this this new phrase because it includes the author of the moment that you create the data or capture the data. Because if you say that, you know, it's not me, it was the technique that created these results, it's a bit like saying that text mining is this Takraf 293, which is a bucket wheel excavator continuous mining machine used in the mining industry in Hambach, Germany, which is really scary in my And to emphasize, which is probably quite clear for the audience here, but so mining, the actual mining in this model, which comes actually from 1989, it divides data mining process in 9 steps, and only one of the 9 is the actual mining, and other steps are identifying the goal, creating the target data set, cleaning and pre-processing, data reduction, and interpreting mined patterns. So in the second part of the workshop, we will focus on the human moments of human interference in the creation of this of such a text mining system, and I used the metaphor of an oracle to make it maybe a bit more playful, to give the participants the option to create their own oracle, so they can fill in a name here. And my first test person called it moral high ground, and he wanted to make an oracle that can distinguish between moral and immoral sentences. The script then, or the interface then, is based on an example from pattern again. So really, stay close to pattern itself. It uses its Twitter API. Okay, I can't go back. There you go. Yeah. It uses the Twitter API to extract 100 or 300 tweets then in this case, which I now cannot show, which is a pity. It gives you the option to do a selection. You can select, for example, only the adjectives, and it would show that you don't really only get normal adjectives as you would expect, but you get also these weird URLs or these weird words that are concatenated to each other. Then the idea is that I can also not show it, but you can see it maybe here. You will print all the words that you selected to use for your algorithm, for your system. And we will use pen and paper to start and find patterns in your own data set, which comes actually from Claude Lévi-Strauss, who used name cards or note cards to describe different elements in a culture of particular cultural habits, to detect, not in myths actually, that's more specific, to detect patterns in different variations that people speak about myths, in order to find patterns in that and be able to analyze that. And he used the note cards to create two dimensions, so vertical and horizontal, and he started to place that on a wall. And so I wanted to use that system, and the words will be put on. And so it's an exercise of visualizing patterns that you would personally find in your data set, but by already adding the numbers that the TF-IDF function, which is... Yes, thank you. you can already play also with what the weight is of a certain word in a text according to patterns, so the software, and then your own interpretation of the patterns in your data set. Then the same words will be used and be turned into a working system. You can add a few test sentences that your system can be tested on, and you will end up with one page that I will try to keep online for at least a year, that you can access, that the participant can access again, so it can use its personal oracle to always know which sentences are moral and which sentences are immoral. So it's a way to, come in connection with your own training set and have a feeling of the data points that your oracle is trained with. I think we can do that.